All right, Jabosai, good morning. Let us begin. We are picking up on page Kuf Ayin Vav, middle of Parak Yuches. Jabosai, remember again that Ramchal writes as follows. He says, so remember, in this particular chapter, we have begun a discussion regarding the concept of chasidus, the definition of piety. So the Ramchal has used the beginning of this chapter so far to discuss as to what piety is not, and the dangers ultimately again of false piety. See, he goes on, he says, Ach mitzias hachasidus atzmo hu davar amok ma'od lahavinu anachum. To understand true piety is exceptionally difficult. And to appreciate chasidus, to appreciate true piety, ultimately again is to understand that piety is based ultimately again on the yisodos chachma, the foundation stones, the pillars of wisdom, tikkun ha'maaseh b'tachlis, rectifying or bettering one's actions, asher ro'i l'chol chacham leiv lirdof acharav. Kirak l'chachamim l'hasigo be'emes v'chein amru zichron l'bracha v'lo ama aretz chasid. So we'll say this incredible phrase, v'lo ama aretz chasid, the ignorant cannot become pious, right? The ignorant can't be pious. So this idea, going with Ramchal, that a lot of times what ends up happening is piety is perverted because of ignorance. So what people think is pious activity, what people think is pious action, ultimately, again, is not really pious action, because at the end of the day, a person is just simply uninformed. So to be truly pious, a person must have an understanding, we'll see in general, and also, again, a particular understanding as to what the definition of chasidus is. So we'll say, now, here we go. Finally, we get the definition. This is paragraph Dalet. Univar ato inyan ze ala seder. Let us now explain the true concept of piety. Hine shoresh ha-chasidus, humash sha'amru zichron levracha, ashrei adam sha'amalo batora, va'osa nachas ruach liotzro. So writes the Ramchal, to understand the true definition, the true essence, the true root of piety, a person must understand the statement of the Gemara, which explains, praiseworthy is the person who toils in Torah and provides nachas ruach. Nachas ruach, quite literally again, nachas, gives nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now, what does that mean? He goes on, he says, va'inyanu, the understanding is, ki ne mitzos hamutalos al kol Yisrael kivar yaduoschein. Hey, v'chovasin yidu aneichem agas. Well, so we all know there are 613 commandments. 613 commandments. We're familiar with those commandments. We recognize that not all, you know, remember again, we say there's 613 mitzvos, but of course, you know, there's no one person who could fulfill all 613 mitzvos. Right? But nevertheless, there are 613 mitzvos on the books. So we understand the nature of the obligation, and we understand the extent to which those mitzvos go. He says, listen to this. Amdam. But what does it mean? Amnam Misha Oheves Habori, page Kuf Ayin Zayin. Someone who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ava Amitis, a true love, Lo Yishtadel V'yechavein Liftor Atzmo, B'ma Shekvar Mefursam Min HaChova Asher Al Kol Yisrael B'chal. Listen to this. What does it mean to love the Ribono Shel Olam? This is actually quite incredible. To love God ultimately means to not simply discharge my obligations. Not to discharge my obligations. Ultimately, again, by doing what it is that I am obligated to do. In other words, so we'll say, what Ramchal is discussing over here is something amazing that doesn't just apply in our relationship with God, but as we're going to see, applies in so many of our life relationships. If I truly love Hashem, I don't just do what I have to do in order to satisfy my obligation and check my box. Ella, Yikra lo kemoshi yikra el kol el bain ohiv aviv. Shilo yigala aviv es daito gilui ma'achu chafes badavar min advarim. Kavar yar beha ben badavar ahu b'maise ahu komashi yucha. Bosei, listen to this. Let's take a child who loves his father. So a child who loves his father, what does he do? As soon as the father tells the child or shows the child what it is that makes the father happy, the child does that thing for his father, even beyond what the father asks. In other words, there's a difference between a loving relationship and an obligatory relationship. What happens in an obligatory relationship? Right? What do people do? What do people do? Whatever they have to do in order to get by. Right? The truth is, I'm going to say, the greatest example of this is often what people do in the scope of their employment, especially if a person doesn't really like their job all that much. I'm going to go in, I'm going to do what I have to do in order to retain my job, to collect my paycheck. I'm going to punch in, I'm going to punch out, and then I'm done. Okay, that's all, as long as I'm fulfilling the dictates of my job. There's nothing wrong with that. But on a deeper, more meaningful relationship, any relationship that is supposed to be filled with love, the hallmark of that relationship is a willingness to go above and beyond. Once I know what you want, once I know what you love, once I know what makes you happy, then those are the things I want to do, even though you're not asking me to do those things, even though you're not commanding me, even though it's not obligatory for me to do those things, I want to do those extra things because I love you. He goes on, he says so beautifully, so for example, the son who loves his father, and he knows that his father enjoys whatever it is, fill in the blank. The father didn't ask the son for anything, right? He didn't ask the son, can you do this for me? Can you get this for me? But the son ultimately knows that this is something that is meaningful to his father. So the son who loves his father will go out of his way to do that thing for his father. So the idea is, even though the father hasn't asked the son for something specific, even though the father has not expressed or articulated any explicit wish, the son knows that this makes his father happy. And therefore, again, because he loves his father, he wants to do those things which bring joy to his father. So we'll say, watch this. Ramchal advances such an incredibly dramatic idea. We see this concept actualize and flourish with our own eyes. You could see this concept, says Ramchal, in every single meaningful life relationship. Klalo shel davar, bein kol mi she'ava b'neim oza be'emes, shelo yomar lo nitztavesi yoser, dai li b'mash nitztavesi yoferush. In any passionate, loving relationship, the hallmark of that relationship is that the parties in that relationship never say, I've done enough. Right, I've been married for 20 years. I've done enough. I feel like I can bank a lot of stuff. Right, I worked extra hard, especially in the beginning of the marriage. You know, I'm done. I've done enough. That's it. In any loving, passionate relationship, there is a constant want and desire to go ahead and do more and more and more for the other in the relationship, even though the other is not asking me for that, even though the other is not even articulating a desire for that. But because I know that it's meaningful to my significant other, and because I love that other, whoever that other is, it's something I want to do. So let me highlight two ideas. With this, we're going to stop over here. What Ramchal says essentially as follows. There's two pieces. Number one, in any loving relationship, you don't check boxes. Right? In any loving, meaningful relationship, it's like, you know, you see this a lot of times when there are shalom bayis problems. So a lot of times, shalom bayis, you know, marital conflict, often the words that are first uttered in the beginning of conflict is, I do so much for you. You know, the moment you're keeping tabs on how much you do for the other is the moment, unfortunately, that you're in the midst of relationship dysfunction. Because when you love someone, you just want to give. You want to do for them. I'm not keeping score. I'm not keeping tabs. I want to give. So therefore, by definition, I continuously give. So number one, that's the piece of a relationship between loving parties, a desire to give. The second part that Ramchal is advancing is this idea that once I know what the person I love desires and wants, I want to give them more of things that resemble that thing. So once I know that they like A, so I'm going to give them as much of A as I can, plus other things that resemble A as well. That's the yesod. So ultimately, again, it's on. Yeah, so I'm sorry, it'll be off in a second. So the idea. Yeah, I don't. I'm sorry. See, I have no other route for you. I'm sorry. No, I'll write it right there. Yeah. So let's say. So the idea being that again, when you love someone, ultimately again, you want to keep on giving them, and once they express that they enjoy or love something, you want to give them other things which are like that thing that they love. So we'll see. We'll stop over here for today, but Lamaisa, we'll see tomorrow. Emir Tzashem. We'll see tomorrow how the Ramchal plugs this in to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll just give you a very quick coming attraction. The Ramchal advances an incredibly dramatic idea. Mitzvos are expressions of things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. They're expressions of what God loves. They're not the totality of what God loves. They're the expression, ultimately, again, of what God loves. What does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what does it mean to be a chassid? To say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves X, I'm going to give him X and X plus Y. So if I see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes it, when we do chesed, I'm not only going to satisfy basic criteria of chesed, but I'm going to go above and beyond. Because that's what it means to love someone. It means I want to give and give and give, and once I see what it is that you love and enjoy, I want to continue to give you as much of that type of thing as I can. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll continue to refine the working definition of chesidus, Emir Tzashem, tomorrow.